Fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety, and those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. Five Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. Five Alarm Task Force is brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, your best bet for fire service tick training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Thin Red Line Decon Products, making decontamination as simple as possible for you with decon wipes, shampoo, body wash, and more. Haas Alert, creator of the safety cloud for our roads. Fry Guy Levers and Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tools for the fire service. Silver Arrow Coaching and Consulting, unlock your potential from burnout to brilliance. Crackle Magazine, serving the International Fire Service. EFT Corporation, 40 plus years of innovation in donation and payment processing solutions. Health KPI, teaching you how to track the right data to stay at the top of your game. The Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004. The Firefighter Cancer Support Network. The Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The Five Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be here with you and happy to have you here with us. Today, my guest will be a returning guest once again. Her name is Andy Clark. She is the founder and CPO of Health KPI Podcast, and she has done multiple years of work in assisting first responders with our behavioral health issues. So she'll be joining us in just a few moments. Now, we hope you'll enjoy this podcast, and if you'd like to listen to more, well, there are two ways you can do that. You can go to our website at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org, and when you get to the homepage, just use that horizontal menu, hit on the word podcast, and it'll take you to our library of over 220 episodes. Also, or on the other hand, you can go to your favorite podcast platform, and most of them will carry our entire library. So one way or another, you can always find more episodes of Five Alarm Task Force audios. And should you want to watch the video recordings of our interviews since, I guess, about the middle of the pandemic, you can go to our channel on YouTube. Guess what its name is? Yes, the numeral 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. And you'll find our videos since mid-2020 over there. Now, when you're on our website, we hope you might consider signing up for our newsletter. It's sent out about 4 or 5 times during the year. We'll have one coming out in just a couple of weeks. And with that, we will always protect your email addresses. We don't send spam. We don't sell or give away your email addresses. We keep them to ourselves as best as we can under the laws of the state of Florida and the federal government. Should you ever wish to unsubscribe from the newsletter, just send an email to dalmatprod, one word, D-A-L-M-A-T-P-R-O-D, at outlook.com, and we'll remove your name from the subscription list right away. To our friends on Facebook, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't have other words to thank you for your support. We here at Five Alarm Task Force Corp, it is so important to us that you follow us, that you like our podcast posts, et cetera. So thank you for being steadfast followers and helpers, because we hear back from you occasionally, and we like to hear those comments. They're very helpful, even constructive criticism as well. Now, speaking of that, most of the major platforms that you listen to podcasts on provide you, the listener, with the opportunity of grading or leaving a comment regarding the podcast. Maybe that specific episode, or maybe in general. They usually give you a choice of maybe 4 or 5 stars to select, or you can write a sentence or two. That is very important, not just to us here at Five Alarm Task Force, but to all podcasters. Why? Well, because when someone searches for your podcast and you don't have any good ratings or stars, the platforms use that factor as part of the algorithm of where searches will wind up. So if you don't have that, you're going to be down low in the list. If you have several or many good ratings and good sentences about your podcast, you'll come up higher in the results. So please, all we ask, take a moment or two, leave a star rating or a sentence or two about the podcast. It'll be a big help for us. And that's it. That's our business for today. And we'll be back right after these words with our friend Andy Clark as we talk about first responder behavioral health. As always, please stay tuned. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 Thermography Certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com. Your best bet for TIC training. Would you like to meet up with Andy and the team from Insight Training LLC? Well, here's part of their upcoming schedule. In Denver, Colorado, October 7th and 8th, at the Mile High Fire Conference, Intelligently Aggressive Search Operations. This course bridges the gap between fundamental search concepts, empirical LODD data, and victim rescues, and takes into account the actual conditions that firefighters will face during these challenging incidents. They are often chaotic, suffering from reduced staffing, and in many cases, the same NIOSH recommendations rise again from the previous LODD reports to be placed yet again on another department that suffers such a tragic loss. This course is offered in the following format. The morning will have 2 classroom hour sessions, mid-morning drills without live fire, and afternoon live fire objective training, headed by Thomas Anderson, lead instructor with Insight Training LLC. Coming up October 12th through 16th, Insight Training will be providing 5 days, 2 classes per day to firefighters in the greater Baltimore, Maryland area. The White Marsh Volunteer Fire Department, in conjunction with the Baltimore County Volunteer Firefighters Association and Local 1311, will host Insight Training LLC on the dates of October 12th through the 16th for the training program to take place over 5 days and consist of 2 4-hour sessions per day with 25 participants per session. The address is 10331 Philadelphia Road, P.O. Box 309, White Marsh, Maryland, 21162. For more information, you can also call 410-887-5770. Please be sure to check the Insight Training LLC website or Facebook page for registration and additional details. Insight Training LLC, your best bet for TIC training. The Firehouse Tribune has expanded, now bringing you podcasts, presentations, and training blogs. The Firehouse Tribune is an innovative way for emergency services professionals to interact, share ideas, learn, and train. We are inspired by those who came before us and built a path for us to share knowledge and experience with the rest of the emergency services world, where life experiences and training come together. Check out our podcasts, Station Talk and the 5-Tool Firefighter Podcast. Want us to speak at your department or event? Reach out to us to set up workshops at your firehouse or virtual event on topics including the 5-Tool Firefighter, 5 key attributes of the well-rounded firefighter, and 6 tips to guide the new fire officer. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more info, please visit www.firehousetribune.com or email us at fhtribunepodcast@gmail.com. The new Firehouse Tribune Service, where we live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We're firefighters. We're law enforcement. But like everyone else, we have our aches and pains, sometimes from the job and sometimes not. We realize there are risks with this job. However, sometimes something is wrong with us and we don't know it. Now what do? Well, LifeScan Wellness Centers are dedicated to saving America's heroes. For most fire and police organizations, LifeScan Wellness Centers will send one of their mobile teams to assess every member of your department with complete and complex physical exams and blood work. Using state-of-the-art medical equipment, LifeScan staff members provide a multi-procedural exam, including cardiac stress tests, basic lab results, and ultrasound exams. LifeScan Wellness exams have saved the lives of dozens of firefighters and police officers across the country. They have found tumors, aortic bulges, lung problems, and more, many of which were asymptomatic. However, early detection allowed most of these colleagues to have their personal medical professionals mitigate the health issue that otherwise might have led to a darker time. For more information, please visit their website at lifescanwellness.com. Remember, LifeScan Wellness Centers, saving the lives of America's heroes. Hello and welcome to another episode of Five Alarm Task Force. If you're watching the video, if you're listening to our audio, well, you already heard the intro, who my guest is going to be, and a couple of spots. And I am happy to welcome back a guest who made such an impact on me and many of our viewers and listeners the last time she was here. And her name is Andy Clark. The company that she was with then, her company, was called 911lifestyle.com. And in that first interview, she really gave us great information about balance, how much we need balance. And, Dr. Donnie, if you follow social media, Dr. Donnie Hutchinson is doing that in the U.S. And we see his podcast with our good friend Todd LeDuc from LifeScan Wellness. And so Andy was talking about that, and it was such a refreshing episode to hear not only about the problems, and she's based in Toronto, but it was so interesting to hear how universal the problems that first responders face, no matter where we're living, whether we're living in the U.S., in Canada, we're in the U.K., we're in the Philippines. I mean, and we have listeners there in South America, Middle East. It's so enlightening that what was sad is that we really don't hear about this when we're working, but now we are. But until a few years ago, when the behavioral health initiative came through in both in North America, in both our wonderful countries, we just were going by the old term, suck it up. And I heard that after a call that we're going to talk about a little bit later. So it is my pleasure to welcome Andy back. She is a mom. She is the wife of a police officer, and she is a certified sleep, stress, and resilience coach with over 3 decades of experience in the health and wellness industry. I wish I could just make house calls down here to South Florida. Since 2018, Andy has been dedicated to the well-being of first responders, helping them unlock the secrets to improve sleep and stress tolerance. In an demanding field where resilience is key, Andy's expertise shines. She specializes in teaching first responders. That's all our branches. That's law enforcement, fire rescue, EMS, how to enhance their sleep quality regardless of their shift schedule and boost their HRV, which is their body's ability to handle stress. I think I need a couple of shots of that HRV vaccine in my body right now. This translates into increased energy, heightened focus, improved performance, recovery, and a greater capacity to handle the stresses of their jobs and their personal lives. Join us as Andy shares her invaluable insights on improving the lives of first responders, helping us not only navigate, but thrive in the face of intense challenges. Andy, welcome back to Five Alarm Task Force. It is a pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when we contacted each other, I found there's been a transition in name from 911 Lifestyle to PKI Health, right?
Health KPI.
Health KPI. What is Health KPI, please?
So KPIs are actually key performance indicators. So in business or in like, there's certain key performance indicators that you're looking through. So from fire, you're looking at things tactically of where you need certain things to be. There's certain markers that you track in a fire station. There's certain markers that you track in policing, in EMS, that will signify if the stations are performing at their best. And thing is that we often don't look at that as far as our health and looking at what performance indicators do we need for our health. And so what also was happening, so that's like a key performance indicator are the top markers that we should be looking at in order to stay in peak performance from a health perspective. From a station perspective, it's how do we make sure that the station is running at its best? So I've just kind of married those because we really put a lot of attention on one, but not the other. And what I was seeing with 911 Lifestyle was I was always working at, okay, you're in burnout, right? You're in the deep depths of burnout. You're feeling like crap. You're struggling to get through your day. And it wasn't resonating with so many people. And I thought that was actually specific to first responders, because in my mind, I told myself that first responders have a different normal. What you're going to on a call every single day, your normal is different. So if you're at home arguing with your spouse, that is very different than what is going on at a domestic, right? So you're not in the deep depths then when you're like so frustrated and always in arguments at home. When, you know, you're struggling to be tired, you just know what you have to be pushing through in order to be helping and doing things for people each and every day. And you push, that this just what you do is you push, that you know what absolute exhaustion is, but you also know that you still have to dig deeper to find it. That when we're speaking this narrative of how exhausted you are, how little asleep you're getting, you're like, yeah, well, look at my shifts, right? Like I've had calls for 24 hours. I'm at a busy station. Or even as I was saying for my husband as police, he's been pulling some 24s recently, which is not normally a police services structure, but that's just, it's just what's been happening recently here. So when we're looking at things, we have to really stop and think about what do you guys want? And I realized after a while that it's not just first responders though. I went, okay, I'm an expert in burnout. Let me go help other people in burnout too. And I tried to do that. And I realized I started doing interviews with people who were in burnout. Not one of these individuals. I was interviewing first responders. I was interviewing lawyers, investment brokers, commercial real estate, parents, people who had ended up in hospital. Somebody had lost an eye, lost vision in their eye from stress. It was just fascinating how deep these people had gone, and none of them, not one knew that they were actually in burnout until they started figuring out how to get out. So I was like, okay, I need to change what I'm doing. I need to figure this out in a way. And the thing is every responder that comes in, they know that they need to be in top shape, top condition in order to perform their job day in and day out. Thing is there's this fine line between how hard can you push in order to get the benefits of being able to handle stressors, being able to keep your body strong, to be able to tactically stay strong and do all of your exercises that you need to do at the station when you're not at calls, and overtraining. So that's where these health KPIs come in. And that's where these top two markers, sleep, where we're tracking your deep and REM sleep, and HRV, which is actually your body's marker on its ability to handle stress. So the lower that marker is, you think of an elastic, and how far can that elastic stretch and hold before it bounces back? And you want that really, your elastic right there. You want that to really be flexible. You want it to be able to handle those stressors on a call, but also be able to go back to a relaxed state when you're relaxing. And if you have a high HRV, you can do that. But if your HRV is low, then you don't have that ability to keep bouncing back and you're living in a stressed state. And that's where we find, if we understand how to track those health KPIs. So your health KPIs are HRV and your sleep, of which there's certain trackers that, so as I was working with responders, I was seeing that some of them were wearing health trackers. I'm like, ooh, what's your HRV? What's your sleep at? And we started figuring out what strategies in them. What is your shift like? What's happening at home? What supplements, what protocols, what different things for you helped to increase your HRV and increase your sleep quality so that you can heal and repair from your sleep?
That is amazing, and much more so than I normally would say, because of the fact that as of late, and I take a lot of medication at night because of my back, and I have intractable pain, insomnia. I've had it for many years because of the back problem, because I can't wear the device at night when I'm in bed, because it's, I have to wear a belt around my chest and the antennas on it. And so, and I'm a left side sleeper. So it's, I can't start sliding the little controller back and forth in my sleep. So, and I've been having significant problems the last several weeks of not having restorative sleep. I'm waking up after five and a half hours, I can't go back to sleep. I try, keep everything quiet, et cetera, et cetera. So that's something that, if I'm doing it because of the health issues that I'm facing, then imagine today, not in my day, because my day when I was still responding, even on in the volunteer departments, responding when the tones went off. And yes, sometimes it woke me up and I ran down the station. Sometimes I'd reset it because it was a minimal call and somebody else could get it. That I've kind of lost that cycle. You know, and every time I, last couple of weeks, as I prepare my dosages of my medication and the medical marijuana that I'm allowed to have here in South Florida, I'm saying, I wish there was a way I could get off of it and just sleep like a human being again. So what you just said really hits home with me. And I think that if, and hope that some of my, our older viewers who watch former firefighters, I don't know about, you know, law enforcement, and I'm sure we have paramedics or firefighter paramedics who watch and listen as well. But I think this is so important for them to get this right now, no matter where they are in their careers, beginning out. If this is all new, how do you guys even rest? I'm going all the time. Or the guy or gal with 10 years in, and they deal with it on their own way. And the guy or gal with 20 years in, or 25 years in, you know, maybe getting rid of, or they've retired, and now their mind is still in the firehouse. That part of the brain is still in the firehouse. They're not, it's not at home anymore because they retired. So I think this is very, very important, and a very valid examination we have to do for the Behavioral Health Initiative. Because if we're not at our peak when we're on the job, and when we're with in a different level with our families or with friends, but if we're not at our best, there's no green curtain that the man can hide behind, like in The Wizard of Oz. People will see it, see us for what we're doing, what we're saying. And that's not that's not Steve. That's not the way he usually behaves. He's really usually has a couple of jokes. He's always not. But that's sometimes we look in the mirror and we think that the person in the mirror talking back to us is lying. As my dad, may rest in peace, taught me, he says, the person in the mirror knows every secret that you have. They can't lie. You can lie to yourself, but that person in the mirror can never lie to you. They only can give you the truth. And so I think too many of us are afraid to look in the mirror.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, with using a health tracker, it can't lie. It's giving you your flat out data of how bad your sleep was and or how good your sleep was, where your HRV is actually standing. And so you'll know if my HRV is low, my focus, my ability to problem solve, my ability to really quickly think is going to decrease. My mood regulation is going to be decreased if my HRV is low. And so you know these. So as you're saying, it is different for the different stages of getting in. My hope would be that every responder before they start, like when part of their training, I know here is like it's OPC, Ontario Police College, is where they go, that I wish that one of the courses that they were taught and they were all given a health tracker, and that they were taught right then and there how to start tracking so that they can start catching it. They can figure out how they can push and how much they can push, because they love to do like that. That's the mindset. Like you right. need to be right in order to be able to do that job. And in order to be able to do that, for them to learn, okay, how far can I push without pushing over the edge? When do I need the recovery? What is working for my recovery? What isn't? That it is fascinating when individuals, like they've done studies on teams. There's actually some studies with the WHOOP on military and police. There's some great studies through them where they will give a tactical team all a health tracker, and without guiding them at all, without teaching them anything, they will start seeing what habits are actually impeding the sleep when they're able to get sleep, what habits are helping it, what habits are impeding or helping their HRV, and they start actually making changes themselves. And then somebody can come in and actually start teaching them how to even maximize the benefits they've already given themselves. So that would be my hope for those that are training to come into the first responder world. And because if you can give them that skill before they get onto the job, or while they're getting onto the job at the very, very start, that will help to carry them so much further throughout their career. And studies show that when they are getting better sleep, better reparative sleep, first off, with sleep depression, suicidal thoughts, suicide increases. So when we're looking at suicides, even in responders, I always wonder what was their sleep like. And a large majority of the responders I've worked with, once we do start increasing their sleep markers, once we start increasing their HRV, they will tell me that their suicidal thoughts went away. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm not a therapist. I don't deal on the mental side. I don't deal on the traumas. Had they told me when we first started working together that they were having suicidal thoughts, I would have sent them to somebody for that. That actually showed me how large of an effect that sleep has on even like on ethical mistakes, on suicides, and on big problem solving skills, which Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman has actually switched his studies from PTSD and trauma actually onto sleep deprivation to help more people, because he's realized how large of a role sleep deprivation plays in suicides and ethical mistakes.
So when you're talking about these devices, you're talking about like Fitbits and the smartwatches and things like that as health trackers?
Yeah. So Fitbit, not all Fitbits and Garmins, not all of them track HRV. You need one that will track sleep. It needs to be while you're sleeping. And so some Garmins are coming out with that. I wear a Whoop band, which is my favorite for first responders, for sure, hands down. And then I have an Aura ring.
Arjuna
wears an Aura. We talk about this all the time. So
what's that first device?
The first is Whoop, WHOOP. And they're the ones that actually have been doing studies with military. If you even go on and you search Whoop and Alaska, I believe it might be Army. There's a whole podcast episode about how they actually were working with them. Even also just as a team, they will check each other's stats in this study that they did. They would check each other's stats and see whose HRV is the highest. And that's the person that would do the check on all of their, like, their pre-check before they were going out on their, I don't know what the
exercises.
Word is. Exercises. Thank you. Yes. Because that pre-check is so important that they need to have that. So they'd have the person that had the highest HRV in order to do that check, which also then started motivating the guys to be increasing their HRVs. So Whoop is amazing. Apple Watch, there is a way I can give you, if you want, for your show notes. There's Apple Watch. There's the older models. You need to get an app that's $5. The newer models have it, but there's a setup for it. So I can give you those links in the show notes.
Okay, great.
I'll write that down for myself.
You said the second one's called the Aura ring?
Aura, O-U-R-A. The Aura ring. It's a titanium ring.
Right.
And it does track your sleep. It's great. And Arjuna loves it. I actually was an Aura. I had the old gen of Aura ring, bought the new gen of the Aura ring, and then I actually got the Whoop to test it out for responders, thinking in the next three months or so, let me get used to it so that I can use with my responders that have it. Let me figure it out, and then I'll give it to my husband or my kids. And I haven't let it go. It's been almost 2 years. I will not let go of my Whoop band because of how much data it gives me. It is unbelievable. It'll actually give me my day stress. Like, it will track each stressor. So you can see where your stressor goes to on a call that's cleared, on a call that's not cleared. You can start seeing how fast can you get yourself out of a stress state as soon as a call is cleared. Because that ability to do that keeps your body you're in a stress state less often. You're also showing you how strong your resting system is, which often gets overpowered by your stress system. So when you start training to get yourself out of that stress state quickly, as soon as a call is cleared, and then you're keeping that resting system strong, which is when a lot of responders struggle to, when they're even just sitting around, to relax. And they lose that ability to do that. And that's part of the HRV. Having a strong HRV means that they do have that ability to be switching in and out of that stress state.
And both of these connect to a computer to get your, so you can see your results.
Yep. Right on your phone. Can carry it around on your phone. Aura Ring does have a very good laptop version. Whoop does not. So it's only mobile for them. And Apple Watch, I don't know, actually. The newer version does now have it in the watch. So it's possible that you can move that onto like an iPad or something, but it's on the mobile app.
All right. But it's going to be easy for someone to use if they want to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
So now, with using a health tracker, there must be a learning curve for the end user, right? How to look at the results on a daily basis and to see, oh, I got to do better here. Oh, this was really good. I'm glad I came to that. They have to learn to interpret it.
Yes. So I have created one training that's on my website that they can just sign up for and get that explains a little more in depth about sleep and HRV. And I'm in the works right now of creating like a little course to actually explain how to read the data. The thing is I know Whoop, Aura, and Apple at the moment. So if somebody is one of the other ones, I would love to. I actually am meeting with somebody today that is a Garmin to start really understanding that data to bring it in as well, because it depends on which watch they have. Sleep is the same on all of them, and HRV will be the same. It's when you get into like the Whoop has all of these other features that that are amazing for understanding really that line between overtraining and not, and when can I continue to push. It'll even track like when you're doing your workouts and stuff, you can start seeing, okay, I can push, and it'll tell you when you need to stop because you'll be going into that overtraining phase. So you start learning that cusp for you as well, which is phenomenal because your shifts determine the stress that's been placed on your body. And so with your shifts determining the stress that's placed on your body, what your body can handle in each workout will be different from day to day. And knowing this is how hard I can push today and being able to see that as you're doing your workout and going, okay, I can do another set, or no, I'd better stop at that set. And that's where my body needs in order to actually peak at its strongest. Then it really decreases that overtraining in order to keep you strong and keep you on top of your game.
Right. And I think what, in my mind, what would be very important is that the user kind of makes a pact with him or herself that I'm going to look at the results and I'm going to act on the results, not keep saying, well, it says I'm over, but I think I can do a little bit more and push myself. You got to learn, if you're going to work with a device to help guide you, then you got to listen to the device. The device that's you're letting guide you. You can't just keep saying, well, I can do, you know, I can do this.
There's great features though. So Whoop, Aura, and the Apple Watch, they will put you in the red. You get red, green, and yellow. And so Apple and Whoop gives you red, green, and yellow. Aura just gives you like kind of good or bad. It does give you a readiness score. And if your readiness score is really low, it'll tell you. You're not recovered. You have not recovered. You should not be pushing. And so you will see if you're in the red. Now, that being said, you do want to be in the red sometimes. You want to, it's this push-pull. So you need to push your body in order for it to be able to adapt to stressors. The key is, how long does it take you to get out of that? So if you got into the red, and it's taking you 2, 3, 4 days to get out, then that means you're overtraining and you're not recovered and you need to give your body a break. If you're in the red and the next day you're like yellow and the day after that green, that means you've actually recovered well and your body's adapted to that stress. So it's understanding, as you were asking before, it is understanding the data. So red doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's how many days are you in the red? So a 24-hour shift one day might put you in the red if you were back-to-back calls.
Right.
And you weren't able to fuel yourself. You weren't able to feed. Like, it really depends. But if you start learning on a 24-hour shift, as soon as I get back, rehydrate myself using electrolytes, if I take certain supplements to replenish the stress, like there's, for example, magnesium is used every time your stress system goes out. It's as soon as cortisol is made. Also, vitamin C is used to make cortisol. So on a call, you would have used them. So sometimes it's like, okay, do I need to replenish certain vitamins, minerals? Do I need to rest and recover? Like, do I have time to go and have even a 10-minute, 20-minute lay down right now and recover? You'll start seeing in your data that increased your HRV, that you might not be in the red anymore. Once you start developing these habits on your 24-hour shift, when calls are really high. So right. You'll start learning over time as you start learning how to use the data, what works for you and what works for one may not work for the other.
Sure.
For one person, it might be going and zoning out and doing video games, and the other person, it may not. Then that's where the data helps us. One person, it might be resting and sleeping. It really is so dependent on each individual as well. And what's happening at home. Do you have toddlers at home? Do you have little babies that are keeping you up? Do you have teenagers that are stressing you out? You know, like, are you an empty nester? Do you not have kids? Like, all of these stages as well at home make a difference, as well as, well, when your HRV is up, there's usually less fighting at home as well if you have a functional relationship. But even in a functional relationship, when your HRV is low, there's probably more arguments happening at home.
makes a good point. I know that both my wife and both our our grown daughters wear Fitbits, and I know at least for my two daughters, our two daughters, that they track their sleep on it. They look at it and they say, my younger one who had the baby, our grandson, since last time you were here, she looks and goes, oh, I only got 7.5 hours last night. According, I guess that wasn't enough. And our other one and my wife use it for tracking their exercise and as they work out. And so it makes a lot of sense now that I'm seeing the, I didn't need it for steps. I keep that on my phone, but I need it for me. And you brought up the point of the magnesium and vitamin C. When I first got sick at the end of 2020, and we didn't know what it was, I couldn't keep anything down. I got dangerously dehydrated, had to be taken to the hospital for a couple of IVs. And the second doctor that I had, really nice guy who works often with first responders, said, he says, after this, you should be able to at least hold water down, but I'd like you to try a sport water, but that has electrolytes in it. Mm-hmm. And I want you to drink at least a bottle a day, if not more. Yeah. And that's when I started that in finally in December of 2020. Yeah, about December. And I've been doing it ever since. And I've noticed that some of the problems that I had, because I was just drinking water, and I love to drink cold water. But once I started drinking with the electrolytes, that I was feeling a bit better already because things were balancing out. And so when I went back to the hospital for a recheck, he said, yeah, your electrolytes are great.
Yeah.
This was about 3 weeks later. And he said, you're doing well with that. So I just made it part of my daily habit that I drink one or two bottles of these a day. And just to keep myself hydrated and with the right stuff in it. So I can definitely see the difference when on days, for whatever reason, I'm not able to drink it, and days I do, of how I feel.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Like the first two things that I work with any first responder that comes to me usually is hydration and breathing. And it's been fascinating because I go in depth, like with all kinds, there's so many things that we can do. We can be really working on like diving into even with toxins and stuff, because even 24-hour shifts, if you're awake in the middle of the night, then your body doesn't detox as well. So there's so many things like we can work on that, and we can work, like I could list all of these things that I could be working on with these guys. But it's so fascinating that when they come in and we work on hydration, but as you say, with the proper electrolytes, with and then breathing, solely switching from mouth to nose breathing, because mouth is in your stress system and nose is you, it's starting to teach you how to switch from that stress system back into that resting system, what I spoke of earlier, when you can actually switch yourself in and out. The start of that process is going from mouth to nose. Those two things that I teach responders in my group, it's fascinating because a lot of them are like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And at the start, it blew me away because there's so many other things we can dive into to really get their data and their stats like improved so much more. But the difference in how they felt, the brain fog, their moods calmed once they're hydrated and their body didn't hurt as much. If they were able to repair, they were getting better sleeps from water and switching from mouth to nose.
It's interesting. I've been teaching, preparing young kids, Jewish boys and girls, for their bar and bat mitzvah for well over 50 years. I've done probably over 1,000 kids and adults. And one of the things I teach them about 4 months out from the ceremony is to not breathe through their mouth. And I give them a basic reason is because you don't want to burp in the middle of a prayer. Because if you, and you're gulping that air, you're only sending a little bit of oxygen in. And at the same time, but you're putting a lot of air in your stomach and it's got to go somewhere. And so the next thing that goes, and you don't want to do that in front of your family and friends. But also I start hearing back from them. I'm telling them, because if you do nice, slow breathing in through your nose and exhale through your mouth, you're going to start giving more oxygen to your brain. You're going to feel a little bit better. You're going to be a little bit more on top of the text that you have to read and stuff like that. And they all, you know, almost everyone has come back with saying, "You were right, Mr. Green. That really helped me. I stopped burping during my blessing." And I said, "That's all I wanted to do." And so this is a big buy-in for me because it, you know, I didn't think of it really other than a biological matter. But now hearing what you're saying, it's even much more valuable to us to do that breathing that way when we can. And we're not saying after you've chased the bad guy for four blocks or you made two rescues off a 100-foot ladder coming down with people on your shoulder. No, that's not going to disappear just by breathing in through your nose a little bit. But on a day-by-day basis, your basic activities, if you start thinking about inhaling that way gently through your nose and then exhaling throughout, and you're ridding yourself of enough carbon dioxide to let you think clearly, but not too much that you don't go into hyperventilation. So I think that reality that you just talked about is so valuable just to anybody on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't, you don't have to be a first responder. You can be an executive bank. You could be the guy who hauls the trash away and is lifting the barrels, and you stop breathing, and you just gotta, if you just take those few moments from time to time to do that inhalation through your nose with a nice good, and I tell the kids, let your chest broaden, let the diaphragm pull your rib cage open so you get your lungs expand, you're going to start clearing up. And it just works for them. And now I see why it works so well for first responders as well.
Yeah. So you can dive into that a little deeper as well. As I was talking earlier about the nervous systems, we have our stress nervous system, our sympathetic nervous system, and our resting, our vagus nerve. Our vagus nerve is our resting, relaxed. It's when you're calm and really feel social. And so that resting nerve, it touches a little bit of your sinus on your nose, but it actually goes down. It covers your whole body, but the most fibers of that nerve are around your diaphragm. And those fibers are unmyelinated. So a myelinated nerve is like a wire with a rubber coating.
Right.
And unmyelinated is without the rubber coating. So they're really more susceptible to become injured, but they're also more susceptible to engage. So when you do that deep breath in through your nose, the nose is already starting to turn on that vagus nerve because it's already, as soon as it goes in your nose, it's touching that nerve a little bit. And then when it touches all the diaphragm, like when you fill that belly, then it's actually touching and moving those nerves that are unmyelinated, really sensitive around that diaphragm. So it's turning them on. That's as well where a lot of traumas and PTSD get stuck in as well, are in the diaphragmatic area. So that's where too, you start holding your breath even more, which then puts you more into your stressed state, into that sympathetic nerve more often. So really practicing that breath of that nose, of the mouth to the nose instead, as often as you can, when you are on training exercises, when you're off, before you go to sleep, when you wake up, you know, when you're eating, as often as you can, think of it like a workout, like an exercise. The more reps, the stronger that resting nerve will get, and the easier it will be to switch yourself out after calls, to switch yourself out when you've had, you know, somebody in the office that is stressing you out, that one of your colleagues is stressing you out, that somebody in the public is stressing you out. You'll know to start, you'll be able to get stronger and stronger at switching in out of that stress nerve, your sympathetic, and into the vagus nerve, into that resting nerve, the more reps you get of doing that. And you'll start seeing that in your stats too. You'll see that in your sleep. You'll see it in your HRV as well.
And I think most of our paramedics and EMTs who are listening will know the term vasovagal response.
Yes.
Which we also know as syncope, where somebody faints. It's not necessarily a fainting caused by an injury or something like that. It's a vasovagal response that was triggered from something. And of course, we know hiccups. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the vagus nerve saying, whoops, I'm a little... A little like that. And it has nothing to do with necessarily being drunk. So that's something that Hollywood and television have portrayed incorrectly, that only drunks have the hiccups. Our grandson is 28 months. He'll just be talking to you and all of a sudden he starts with hiccups. And that's all it is. It's just hiccups and they go away after a little bit. But the fact is that I think what you've just touched on is something that most, again, maybe our paramedics and EMTs have a better understanding of the vagus nerve. But I think the average person, the average first responder, may not see that and may not understand that. They know what hiccups are and they've seen or heard about people fainting. But the causes, as we know medically, are manifest. And lots of things can cause that. But the most simple that we've seen, and I remember in my days with EMS, was a vaso. We were taught by our training physicians that it was vasovagal response, or what you will call, what you boys and girls will call syncope, medically when you call in on the radio. So I think that in and of itself, and how that can affect both positive and negative our HRV, is very telling. And it's something that we kind of like all deal with on a everyday basis, but we just don't know how it works with us, inside of us, with how we go up here. And I think that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
The way you teach it is very clear.
Thank you. Yeah. If you would like to, after the break, if you want to dive in, we can dive in a little bit more into sleep and what they should be looking for on their trackers. Good. If they would like, and we can dive into a little bit more on HRV if you'd like after the break.
Oh yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. All right, folks, if you're watching the video, you're not going to see anything different. If you're listening to the audio, well, you know what will happen. We're going to take our break. We'll have a few spots, public service announcements, and then we'll be back with our guest, Andy Clark, as we talk about a little more information about HRV and our sleep habits, what we can do to avoid problems. You don't want to have that big triple decker hamburger with cheese and onions and everything like that about 30 minutes before you go to sleep. That might be an idea to think about. And then we'll be back with our guest right after these words. As always, please stay tuned. The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside. Your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything. What the hell are you thinking? You see it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down, that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
Hey, I'm Joey Logano with Joe Gibbs Racing. The job of these firefighters is even tougher and more dangerous than mine. But we both rely on custom precision machinery to get us where we're going. And a small mistake, or a fraction of a second, can be the difference between life and death. Like these firefighters, my family expects me to come home from my job. I wouldn't think for a moment about getting in this bad boy without my seatbelts and other safety devices. I can't imagine anyone getting into one of these trucks without buckling up. And watch your speed so you can maintain control. If I don't cross the finish line, I don't win. And if you don't get to the scene, everybody loses.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it, and you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous. There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. Hey, guys, you call out. I'm not feeling well. And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. Be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC-SHS websites.
If you like a good firefighting conference where you can learn, you can share, you can teach, and you can enjoy, well, the North Florida Fire Expo is the place to be. It is an affordable, unapologetically blue-collar fire conference for firefighters who are hungry to learn and improve. Our mission is to passionately pursue excellence through authentic blue-collar training. Come celebrate the 5th year anniversary, February 7th through 10th, 2024, on the beautiful beaches of Okaloosa Island, Florida. For more information, check out their website at www.northfloridafireexpo.com. Again, that's www.northfloridafireexpo.com. You don't want to miss it. Hello and welcome back to this episode of Five Alum Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. And with me today is returning guest, Andy Clark, with Health PKI. And in our first segment, even with my background in EMS and in working in medical office, I learned so much in the last 45 minutes from Andy that I had no idea about, other than my somewhat out-of-date notions that I learned a long time ago. But the fact is that if you are a first responder, and you don't have to be to benefit from this episode, you can be in any field of work. You could be a student. And, you know, today, I thought the pressure was bad. My day, oh my God, today the pressure, you know, you have to make it in, before you even get married, you got to book your kid into an early childhood center or else you have to hold a reservation. You can't do it. And all these stressors in our lives today, especially if we're living in decent-sized communities or large cities where everything is a hustle and a bustle. I was watching a couple of films with one of our daughters the other day, and I said, you know, sometimes I wonder what it'd be like to live in a smaller community without, I can drive out to get what I need, but in the community, it's a warm, small community. People care about each other. They take care of each other. I said, now I know what other people have talked about because I don't have that. I have no doubt in my mind that that existence leads to better health, better behavioral health, and just a warmer, stronger community in general. But we can't all be there in that. So we have to be able to learn how to adapt and overcome. So in this second segment with Andy, we're going to delve a little bit more into sleep patterns, what they tell us, what your readouts may indicate, and what you need. If you're going to make the effort, then you need to listen. You need to listen to what we're going to talk about. You're going to need to listen if you take on the challenges that we're talking about today. You need to listen to your results. You got to view them and don't just brush them away. You have to be part of the solution, because if you're not part of the solution, then you just become part of the problem. And we're going to talk about also now HRV and the devices. Again, we'll talk a little bit more, name the devices again, and what those markers tell us. So Andy, let's start with sleep, because we all do that. So let's talk a little deeper about sleep, please.
All right. So on a health tracker, you're going to see three things. Four, actually. You'll see latency, deep REM, and light sleep. You'll also see your awake time quite often. So I know definitely the Whoop and the Aura. Apple, if you have an older version of Apple, though, it mixes your deep and your REM. So just a heads up on that. So latency is how long it takes you to fall asleep, which some responders are probably just laughing right now because it takes forever to fall asleep. And it's important if we want to be between 5 and 20 minutes. If you're before 5 minutes, if you fall asleep with less than 5 minutes or over the 20, it's quite often a sign of being sleep deprived. So that's where we start diving into that. So then we need to look at your sleep. Now, this is the fascinating part, is deep is the first 2/3 of your sleep. It should be. Right. REM should be the last 2/3 of your sleep. So there's an overlap in the middle. If your deep is continuing for longer into your sleep, that's also another sign of sleep deprivation, that you're still paying back sleep debt.
Wow.
So when we first start working with responders and we start getting their sleep, they actually find that their deep starts extending further. And that's okay, because that's telling us we're on the right track. We're actually getting them into a better restorative sleep that is starting to pay back sleep debt. So we have to get that deep sleep paid back almost before the REM starts coming in. Now, the REM sleep is the last 2/3 of your sleep. And the deep is your muscles healing, it's all of the healing and repairing of your organs, your, you know, cholesterol, all of those things in your deep. Your REM is your mind's healing. So that's where you process memories. That's when you're with traumas as well. There are some studies that show that people that aren't getting into enough deep sleep do get, are more affected by traumas. So that is so important for the longevity of your career to be making sure that you are getting that REM sleep. With the REM as well, it's like your focus, creativity, brain power. So for police working on solving a case, same thing with fire. If you're trying to figure out where the fire happened after, or even during the fire, being able to flow with the way that you need to be moving around like houses. And I'm sorry if I am not saying any of this right.
Okay.
As you know, this is not my area of expertise. I am trying to give scenarios for you to understand it, but I am totally calling myself out if I'm saying wrong.
That's okay. That's okay.
My expertise is in the stats and the data and the health and that. So you really do want to make sure that you're getting that REM sleep as well. So what happens is, like with fire, you're doing 24-hour shifts, but if you're starting to fall asleep and you get woken up in that deep, you get woken up before you even get into your REM, or you only get a little bit of REM, the next time that you go to sleep, the odds are you're also going to start with deep. So if you're getting chunks of sleep in the night on a 24, you may not be getting enough REM.
And by the way, when you mentioned that, I want to bring up something that it's going to be somewhat of a help, especially to the fire service, which is that normally, and we went through it when I would sleep over there, or we had the Plectron, the radio next to us, or our pagers, we'll be asleep and then the tones go off. And especially if you're in the firehouse, the way it used to be, and isn't a lot still today, is that all the lights go on, the bells, the horns ring, and everybody scrambles up and gets out. However, there have been innovations in the past several years where there are new alerting systems. So a lot of, one of them has, you wear a watch band, a device that gently starts blinking a red light and starts tapping on your, on the underside of your wrist to get you, to wake you up more gently. Not all the white lights go on. The red lights will go on. And will blink. And so it wakes you up, but not startles you out of your sleep as much. And I think that's going to be, as more and more departments are able to, and that you don't have to build a new station to do that, by the way. This is all, you can retrofit any fire station with this equipment. But I think as we get it spread out more in our countries and in, you know, other countries where firefighters go through the same issues, that we're going to make that event less startling, just to wake you up. Because yes, will it depend on what the dispatcher says in the call information? Yes, because God forbid we hear it talking about child. Well, that gentle wake up does nothing for us, because we're going to go into Papa Bear and Mama Bear mode as soon as we hear that there's a child involved in the call. And that's just our natural instinct. And you don't have to be a firefighter or a paramedic to have, or police officer to have that natural instinct. Anybody with kids would have a natural instinct for that happening. But we are making progress, and that's the key. And so if we team it with the progress that we're making with electrical innovations and alerting innovations, plus what you're talking about, and we continue that a little bit more, I think hopefully those who get awoken during the night to answer some sort of a call, no matter which field of a first responder they are, we might be able to, might be a little bit easier and not as detrimental as it is when everything blares at the same time and you jump out, you're in a deep sleep, and then you got, and a moment ago you were fishing in the dream. You were fishing on that beautiful lake and you just caught a nice big trout. Oh, the horns go off and you're done. And you got to clear your head, with clear the cobwebs. But what you're talking about, I think, can help relieve that quite a bit.
Yes. And the thing though, from this information, that's amazing. Like, absolutely waking them up. The fact is they're being woken up. It's just a fact of life of being on the station, being like at a station 24/7. The thing to really understand of this is that you might be getting deep. You may still not get enough deep that your body needed, but you most likely are not getting the REM that you need. So then that tells us, what do you do on your next days off? And so it starts teaching you those habits, whereas there's quite often a lot of guilt. I've been off for 24. My spouse has had the kids, or now my spouse is going to work and I've got the kid. Like, I have clients with just toddlers who they would stay up and then just try to only nap when their child napped. And once they started understanding how much this affected them, how much this affected their short fuse, their ability to detox, which is huge in the fire world. So they can't detox if they're not getting into these proper sleeps as well. And they started realizing, okay, after my 24, I need to take my child or just bring a sitter over for a couple of hours, like more than a few hours, but till noon or something, and have a sleep. So then that night too, they can get their regular sleep as well, but they can start paying back that sleep debt that occurred on that shift without guilt once they start understanding and realizing the amount of deep and REM. But we also look at light. Light sleep should be 50% of your sleep. Light sleep is also memories, your short-term memory, cognition. It's your ability to creative and problem solve as well. It overlaps a lot with your REM. But you need 50% of light sleep as well to be that sleep. So the reality is, at a station, you're not going to be able to get what science shows to be like your optimal sleep.
Right.
So now we have to start figuring out, how do we lengthen your career? How do we make sure that you're recovering? How do we make sure that your body is healing and repairing and detoxing and doing all these things that we need it to do, thinking outside of the box and using these trackers has been able to allow me with clients to see, okay, this works great for you. The next day after your shift, this is the best schedule for you to be getting the best healing and repairing from your sleep. What time do you need to go to bed the next night? Some people it's 10, some people it's 8. Right? What time, how long do you need to sleep the next morning after getting home from shift? What is the best for you? And having the tracker to be able to see that in comparison with the HRV as well. So let's see that deep, see that REM, see that latency. And you'll notice too, your latency will start improving as we start working on the better sleep and your HRV. Because with your HRV, when you're in that stress state, your mind just can't calm down because you have cortisol floating around, which is also your energy hormone.
Right.
So with sleep, we need to make sure that on your days off, you're getting first two-thirds of deep, last two-thirds of REM. And once that deep starts creeping in, you know you're going into sleep debt. And then that gives you guilt-free permission to sleep more on your days off, to recover and heal and repair and bring out the tools as well. So an infrared sauna blanket, we have one. My husband for the trucker rally here worked 33 days straight. He had a 24-hour shift, a 21 in there. He had a 33-hour shift in there at one point and a 26, but he averaged 18 hours for those 33 days. So he had 6 hours to come home, eat, sleep, shower, and get back to work. So I made him, I pulled out all the tools. I made sure he had all the right supplements, feeding himself. He had all the right like food and fuel and everything while he was on shift. But when he came home, he had to do 10 minutes in that infrared sauna blanket before I let him go up into the bed. Because
what,
I knew
what kind of a blanket are you talking?
An infrared sauna blanket. It shows on his data that he gets into a deeper sleep. He gets a better quality deep sleep when he does that. And I knew that we needed to pull out everything to heal and repair him as much as we could to keep him okay, because we didn't know how long the trucker rally was going to run for. And he also went into that trucker rally strong and solid. He did not go into it sleep deprived. So soon it was over, we started paying back sleep debt. So there's ways you can start using your data and using the tools to know when to pull them out when you need them, in order to help as best as you can.
Oh, that's very interesting information. Even for me personally, and we'll talk about that when we finish recording, but I think that we've all realized times when we have been sleep deprived. And again, this does not necessarily have to be a first responder. This is all of us. Anybody can be sleep deprived based on life. Life throws things at us that we weren't prepared for. We have to, adapt and overcome. And we do it. But sometimes adapt and overcome, we pull too much from one side and not enough from the other, and it throws us off balance. And this sounds like that there are definitely ways that we can kind of fix that balance and bring it as close to being on an even keel as we can.
Right.
And I don't, probably most of us didn't realize just how important not only sleeping is, but the type of sleep we have and how we deal with it,
mm-hmm.
how we deal with yeah. it. And don't think that it's intrusive into our life, rather than it's a very vital part of our lives.
Right. And my hope is that once responders start realizing this, then at work too, taking naps is, when possible, is deemed more as a performance, from a performance view and a recovery view, versus being lazy, or there's that guilt in it and I should be doing something else because it's daytime, I should be doing something else. Meanwhile, they were probably up frequently during the night. So there's a lot of guilt too that I feel that having these trackers and understanding the data, that it takes away.
It does, without a doubt. So with that said, let's transition now. Sleep as part of the overall view of HRV. So let's bring that a little bit more into focus, please.
Right. So HRV is that tolerance to stress. So technically what HRV is it's usually the time in between heartbeats. So your heart rate is the amount of times your heart beats in a minute, but your HRV is the time in between heartbeats. So when you are on a call, when you are stressed, your heart beats fast. So that time in between heartbeats becomes short. Now, HRV, you can track a daytime HRV, but we track it at sleep because we want it to be when you're at rest, when you'll find as well that your HRV at the station will be different than your HRV at home in your bed. So you'll have to look at those two differently as well. Because it's your HRV is that time in between your heartbeats, and you want it to be long. You want it to have that huge elasticity, be able to really stretch that elastic and have that really ability to handle so many stressors, but then go back when you need it to go back. And so your HRV, the average HRV for somebody in like their 40s and 50s, and 40s to 60s, I think, is about 50 to 60 milliseconds is what you want. 40 to 60 milliseconds. And for an for somebody who is just an average person. Now we see, I see a lot of responders that when they're coming to me are 20, 25. And so 50 and 60 is where we want. I just, one of my EMS clients just emailed me the other day. He goes, I'm consistently 50 to 60 every day. Even he goes, there's the odd calls. He's at, he's rural. So rural means that he has 2 hours on his way to the hospital and back each way. So if it is a client, like he could be physically for 2 hours trying to keep that patient alive. And then they have to drive back to their station. So it's less call volume, but each call is a lot of stress getting them to the hospital. So he says that certain calls now too, he's been using a lot of the skills that we've learned too, to keep his HRV down. So it's not as high during his calls. So there's things that you can do when possible. And he knows now what to do on his drive back to the station, that 2 hour drive back to refuel himself, rehydrate himself, and what tools to be doing to be getting his HRV lower, to switch out of that stress state on his drive home. And all of those tools have really been helping him, that he says his HRV, like it's not dropping to 25, 30 anymore. It might go to like 40 on when he's had a really big call in the middle of the night. So it's fascinating when you start looking at this. Now, I did have a responder. I was working with a police officer, very, very like specialized tactical unit. And he said that when they were all in training, they were between 90 and 100. They all used the Whoop band, and they were all in the 90s and the 100 when they were in training to get into this specialized division. Now he's 20 or 30. Like that, and that's it. It's so different when you're in your training to get in and you're doing all of the things, like all of the right things. You don't have all of the other stressors that are actually throwing you on shift on calls. So with his specialization, like the call outs he gets day, night, all the hours to go out have really thrown him off, because he didn't learn when he was in training, he still slept every night. But when he wasn't in training, he wasn't sleeping at night anymore, and it dropped. So we got him up to now where being on this unit, he is in his 50s or 60s. So it's fascinating that, yeah, when you see a responder, when they first come on the job, it would be ideal for most of them to be in the 90s or 100s, because that's telling you that they're doing everything right and their stress system is like strong. But as they're going through, you'll see 5 years in or after they've had kids, that just drops. Completely drops, unless a trauma even before those 5 years happens. But we see a drop in a lot of these stats in the 5 year mark if they don't know how to be managing things to keep their HRV up and keep that sleep on check. But yeah, as their sleep is healing, repairing too, that helps HRV. One thing, if you don't have a tracker, how we can tell if your HRV is really low is if you snore or if you have sleep apnea. Because that's telling us that you're sleeping in your stress nerve. So as we talked as well about your nerves, there is a branch of your vagus nerve that runs under your ear, and it goes to your tongue and your throat. And it actually keeps it strong when you're in a resting state. When you're in a stress state, it relaxes it. So when your tongue's relaxed and when your throat is relaxed and you're breathing through your mouth, you're able to get more oxygen in when you are in the middle of that fight. When you're fighting or fleeing, you can get more oxygen in your mouth. So that's for your stress nerve when it's kicking in your mouth breathing. And so if you're kicking into that nerve, into your stress nerve while you're sleeping, that's where we get the snoring and the sleep apnea. And we see it in my husband when he starts getting stressed at work, shifts are high, or there's a lot of stuff happening that's just stress. But even if he's on his normal schedule, he may start snoring, and we'll check his stats and his HRVs. dropped as well. So we know tools have to come out. As soon as he's snoring, he knows the next day what tools to start getting out to strengthen his, to give more support to his stress system, to help his HRV raise again so that it's not kicking in when he's sleeping. When your HRV kicks in when you're sleeping, you can't get into as good of a deep sleep. You can't get into as good of a REM sleep. Your light sleep isn't as great. You're in more of that wake. You keep hitting more waking times in your night. And so they both definitely play a part in one another, in helping strengthen each other.
That's very important. I think especially for the young people coming in today, as well as well-established first responders, to know, you know, especially the old joke with firefighters is the two things that we detest the most are change and status quo. So I think that if we are open to it, what we're talking about really can be very strong, strongly beneficial to any first responder, no matter their shift work, no matter their station, alerting system, that they take ownership of, I guess I would call it take ownership of your body. Yes, you feed it, you quench its thirst, you evacuate what you don't need anymore, but there's so much more to how we need to function on a day-by-day basis, especially in these fields, these three fields.
Yeah.
Are you a stockbroker? Yes, you have plenty of tension and plenty of stress in that job. If you're a dentist, you're a surgeon. Yes, all of us, there's very few of us who work or take care of families that don't have stress. Mm-hmm. If you're one of them, please drop us a line, because we'd love to meet you and have you want to tell us how you have no stress in your life. I remember when I got diagnosed with a Raynaud syndrome, I asked the doctor, I said, so how do I reduce these symptoms? She says, oh, just get rid of all the stress in your life. I said, excuse me? She said, just do away with the stress in your life. I said, okay, doctor, may I ask you a question? She goes, sure. I said, let's say I'm your personal physician. You're still a physician. You're still a vascular surgeon. You do scheduled surgeries. You do emergency surgeries. You have a full practice. That's where I am here. And you come to me and I diagnose you with Raynaud's. And you say to me, well, I'm a busy doctor. How do I get rid of the stress? I said, just get all the stress in your life. Get rid of it. And she goes, oh, yeah. It didn't sound that good, did it? So, no, ma'am, it didn't. I said, because none of us can do it. I said, you can't do it as a physician. I run this podcast. I have a nonprofit to help benefit first responders in dire need. I said, there's stress in my life. I said, I can't remove it. I just need to deal with it better. But to tell somebody, just remove all the stress in your life, is asking me to pick up Mount Everest with my bare hands. How much chance would you have of doing that? She goes, no, I get the point. I shouldn't have said it that way. I said, thank you. That's all I want you to learn, is that you can't say that to somebody. I don't care how old they are. You just can't say, get rid of all the stress in your life. None of us can do that. Proved it. I said, you proved it, because you said you couldn't do it if you're doing the practice. I said, I can't do it because of what I do. I may be retired and disabled, but that doesn't mean I don't have a busy life. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I just sit around, you know, watching TV shows and eating bonbons. It doesn't work that way. So she didn't have any other recommendations, but at least I called her out on a foolish phrase to say to a patient, right? Whether it was me with my background or just Joe or Alice Schmo who's in there, and she tells them that you can't do that to people, because none of us can do that.
And that's the thing, is when I'm working with somebody, I mean, some of the top stressors in their lives, we can't change.
Right.
I can't change what happens at your station, but what I can change is what you do in between calls, or sometimes certain things that you're doing on your way to a call or post call. I can work on those things to help with those stressors. There's also simple things too, like we think of blue lights, or one thing as well as synthetic fragrances. They set some people off, and I've had, it was a fire guy where He was telling me about an argument he had with his wife over a sandwich in the kitchen. And I said, was either of you doing the dishes? He's like, yeah, I was. And I'm like, what soap do you use? And he told me, and I'm like, check and see. I go, next time, I said, every time that you go in and you do those dishes, check and see if that makes you angry. And he did. And he's like, it does. And he switched to a non-toxic, so it doesn't hit everyone, but when it hits somebody, it really affects their mood regulation, right? So that's where I would say just simple things too in a fire station, just make sure you have a fragrance-free, non-toxic dish soap and hand soap. And you might already notice a difference in some of the guys at the station, right? So it's some things too of we can start making small differences that will compound on each other of stressors, certain vitamins. So, okay, we can't decrease the stress, but I can give you some more vitamin and nutritional support for your stress system, right? Like I can give you some more vitamin C. Be cautious with vitamin C because too much reaches bowel tolerance. But we can manage that. We can manage a little more magnesium in order to be helping your stress system if we know that you're stressed beyond. There's other supplementation. Like my husband knows exactly what supplements to take to support his stress system when the stress is too high because he can't change that stress. But he knows he can support himself better. So there's things that we can do thinking outside the box in order to be what stressors can we take out? What stressors can we change to decrease your stress imprint? And how can we support your body better for the stressors that you do have?
So if people want to find out about nutritional supplements mm-hmm. that will help them through some of these issues, can they find that on your website?
I just recently did a podcast episode on using health trackers to find out what supplements are helping you or not for okay. certain things, because so many people will recommend this sleep supplement or that you don't even know if it's working. So if you understand how to start tracking, is this one helping me sleep? Is it not? Is this one helping my HRV, my stress tolerance or not? So I just did a podcast episode on that. As far as individuals, it really does depend on the person as well. I would highly suggest that they would do a hair mineral analysis test. So a hair mineral analysis test, especially for fire, you still have hair. The follicly challenge though, there is one company that will do nails for those that don't have any head hair. But what it does is it will track the last 3 months. If you get like an inch of hair, if you can, my husband has his head shaved. So we just grow it for like a few weeks. So it'll get a few weeks of an imprint of the vitamins and minerals that their body is using, that their stress system uses. And it will tell you which ones you are depleted in. It will also tell you ratios. So like sodium, potassium needs to have proper ratios for your muscles to contract and relax properly. Your heart being one of those muscles right. as well.
I was just going to say that. So,
Making sure that those magnesium, copper is another one that needs to be in proper ratios with others. So sometimes you might have the right amount, but wrong ratios. So getting that test will help with that. The reason I said fire as well, but also EMS and police, because they're at fires often without protection as well, is that it will test your heavy metals as well. So it's been fascinating with our fire guys doing a hair mineral analysis test, because some of certain like mercury or lead, aluminum, when they're higher, we will see anxiety increases, their ability to handle stressors decreases, as well as other medical struggles, health struggles. But we can start seeing their levels of the heavy metals as well as the vitamins and minerals when we do that test. And that will help you know how much of each your body needs. That my two things that I would, if any fire station, any wellness did this, was to get everybody a Whoop band and get them all a hair mineral analysis test twice a year. That would make such a difference for like the guys. As soon as they get on the right vitamins and minerals for them, are like, oh, I feel better. But they're giving their stress system the fuel it needs
right.
to handle all the stressors being thrown at them. That they don't have a hungry stress system that can't function because it's your stress system is hangry and you can't manage and deal with stressors around you because it doesn't have the fuel it needs.
That's a real eye opener. to hear that. I don't think the average person recognizes the level that the right vitamins and supplements, they see all the commercials on TV and they, okay, I'm going to buy that because that's what they said on the commercial. So it's got to be true. But it is very eye-opening to see that with proper testing, you can learn about the best vitamins and supplements to take to fit you.
Yes.
May not be, you know, might not be good for Al, may not be good for Kathy, but it might be perfect for you based on the analysis and the other information. You put it all together and it comes out with, this is what we recommend for you, Bill. This is for Bill. Now, don't go tell Dave that he should take the same thing as you, because you don't know what his situation is. Well, he's a firefighter with me. You know, that doesn't make any difference. His family's situation may be different. He may have a second job that he's doing stuff on. You just don't know. And so instead of just trying to tell everybody what you're doing and for them to do that, encourage people, if you're getting benefit, share that, how you got to that point, and let them go on their journey to get to the point that's right for them.
Yes. And as you're saying too, it's lifestyle stuff, but it's also their DNA. It's also, you know, their genetics that can determine too how fast their body flies through certain vitamins and minerals or absorbs them and different things as well, how their gut health is if they're able to absorb them. There's so many factors that go into that as well, that it definitely is individual.
Right, right. This has been eye-opening, as was your first podcast with me. This took that first episode with you up to a whole new level today. I think you've provided such important information today that we didn't have a year and a half, 2 years ago, but makes so much sense today. And not only that, but our technology has evolved in those couple of years that we have better ways of seeing those markers. You don't have to necessarily have a blood test once a month. You can have your Whoop band, you can get your Oura ring, you can get one of the smart watches that gives you these details and learn from studying them. Don't just wear it because it's a fad or fashion, because there's, you can buy other things that you want that. These are meant to help us, to guide us. And as I've said before, one of our guests, Chief Arjuna George from Salt Island, right? Salt Island.
I know it's in British Columbia, one of the smaller islands.
So I think it was Salt Island, only because of the fact that I saw somebody else on a show recently who said they were from Salt Island up in the coast of Vancouver. I said to my wife, oh, that's my friend, Chief Arjuna George. He was the chief out at there. So the fact that what I've heard from him and listening to his podcast, and again, as you said, he uses that Oura ring, it's made a big difference in his life.
Yeah.
And the fact that so many of us today, and by the way, folks, it's not just active members of first responders. There are those of us who have been first responders and or had been first responders who have issues today. And while we may be aged out of active duty, that doesn't mean we're aged out of trying to be as healthy as we can.
All the strategies we talked about today will work for somebody who's retired as well. And that's Arjuna uses his ring. He's retired out as a fire chief.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's been a huge help in excelling him and figuring out what direction to go.
Exactly.
Like using a GPS versus a map and not knowing where all the detours and all the roadblocks and everything are.
Right. Your map won't tell you what the traffic's like, but your GPS will change your route to get you around a traffic blockage or something like that. And so these tools, whether it's the Whoop band or the Oura ring or one of the smart watches that will provide the HRV, I think if you want to do this, I would recommend going with something that will give that HRV data, because as Andy has said today, that HRV data is very, very important, not just for the timing of the in between the cardiac contractions. More importantly, it's how your body's functioning with all that happening. And with that kind of information, then you and whoever is helping you, or you on your own with your own research, will get a better results and understanding of what changes you may need to make. And that's even suggested, get your hair and nails tested to see, are you absorbing everything? So sometimes we have to have strange tests. I just had one because I'm eating and I'm still not gaining weight, which is very unlike me because I used to weigh 240 pounds. Now I'm lucky if I can get to 150. So I had a test done to see, well, maybe I'm not absorbing my food, but that came out fine. So my food is being absorbed. So it's something else we're going to have to look at. But the fact is, I don't know. Maybe the Oura Ring or the Whoop Band or one of these smartwatches would help a person like me with those answers. We'll find out. We'll see what happens. But I think that the information, Andy, that you've shared today has been so informative and so educational that I hope that each and every one of the listeners or viewers who are interested will reach out and try one of these. And if they want to contact you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
You can go to, I have two websites. So one's for the first responders is 911lifestyle.com. You can also go to my other one that has the Health KPI podcast, which is just my name, which is Andy Clark, A-N-D-I.
Right, A-N-D-I.
A-N-D-I, C-L-A-R-K.com. So right. I'll give you all that for the show notes. Give you Whoop and Oura, just anybody who has one, so they don't have to get this from me. But we all get a friend code where it gets you a free month for, I think, a free month for the Whoop and a dollar discount. They do change it from time to time from Oura. So I'll give you those links as well if anybody wants them.
Great.
But if they know of somebody else who has a ring or a watch, ask them. They'll have it's just a friend link that we all have on the mobile app that they give you all the information. They keep reminding you that you have a refer a friend code.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice for them to do it. All right. Well, folks, I hope you've really listened carefully, viewed carefully, took notes. This podcast could help you reset, pull a reset, and get your body working a little bit better for the tasks you're required to do as a first responder. Is it going to answer every situation, every problem? No, nothing will do that. But it's the same way when we trained. They didn't throw us in for 4 days and teach us everything we need to do as police officers, as firefighters, or paramedics, EMTs. We went through a process to learn and be trained and take notes and work on the topics. This, your health is the same thing. Number one, yes, today we have to be our own health advocates. Nobody else is going to want to take care of us as much as we want to take care of ourselves. So that's number one. You have to be an advocate for your own health. First responders, we know the stressors that you deal with. Andy knows from her husband. I know from being in fire and EMS. And most of you who are watching and listening are in one of those fields. You're in these three fields of being first responders. So there are ways to make it a little bit less stressful, not just the calls, not just if you're at the station, and not just at home. This can help us overall as people, as a person, feel better, do better, and know that those around us can be better because of how we are. And that's really why we do what we do, isn't it, folks? To help people who need our help, and we have the talents and the skills to do that. So, as I've said before, with the Firefighter Health Initiative, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. You got to take care of yourself first so you can respond to those calls and reach out and help those people that you love to do. You love the job, most of us. We do. But sometimes it's grueling and takes a toll on us. And that's okay because we're human. But now, in this podcast with Andy, and through the the information we'll put in the show notes, we have a chance to move beyond that and better ourselves physically, mentally, and emotionally. Because if some of those other problems are gone, we feel better inside of us. It's not physical. This is in the heart and in the brain. So we feel better about who we are and what we do. And you know what? We have to be on the A game every time we answer a call. And Andy, again, thanks so very much. This has been a great episode, a great lesson. Andy's going to email me the information. We're going to put that in the show notes when we release it, both on the video. So when you go to the YouTube channel, which is our channel, is the number 5-Alarm Task Force Corp on YouTube. And we'll make sure it's on those notes as well. That one usually goes up before the audio. I will tell you that the video will probably be up today, folks. I am having a medical procedure tomorrow, so the audio won't probably get up till Friday or Saturday based on how I'm feeling. But Andy, thank you so very much. This was enlightening, it was educational, and it was personal. And I think sometimes a podcast has to get down in the ditches and get personal about how we get better. Yes. And how we improve ourselves. So thank you very much. And this has been terrific. Really very moving, very helpful to me already. We'll talk in a moment as we go off the air. But definitely, folks, I can strongly suggest that you listen again, take some notes, and follow through, because you probably will feel a bit better once you get into the process. That will be this podcast for today. We thank you. If you're watching the video, this will be the conclusion. If you're listening to the audio, well, you know, we'll have a couple of public service announcements, and we'll have a couple more items to come up on the audio version of the podcast. So Andy, thank you so very much for taking time out of what I know is a very busy schedule to join us once again. Wishing you all the best as well. And that's what it's all about, is just helping each other. That's what we do. So folks, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week or 2 weeks. I got to check the calendar, and we'll be back with another great podcast. I can tell you that coming up, some of the guests are going to be Captain Mike Daly is coming back, and we have Peter Matthews from Firehouse Magazine will come back. And I think it's maybe next week, Corey Pern from Crackle Magazine, or the week after that, is going to be joining us. We'll be talking about Crackle and 5-Alarm Task Force. We have a nice little... We're working on a relationship to strengthen both sides, and I'm looking forward to talking with Corey. So thank you for tuning in, folks. We'll be back very soon. Remember, please take care of each other, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to 5-Alarm Task Force.
Yeah, you, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa, what happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, this is Steve. If you listened to the episode, you heard me tell the very old joke that the two things that firefighters detest most are status quo and change. But there is one thing that I think most firefighters, especially those who work shift work, and volunteers as well, is disturbed sleep. That really affects us. Now, it may tick us off when it happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, whether we get the alert in the station house or we get alert in our pagers or we hear the call siren. But more than that, it's what repetitive non-sleeping does. And our guest on this podcast today was Andy Clark, and she is a respected specialist in sleep deprivation for first responders, resilience, and more. And being one of those people who has a version of insomnia because of my back injuries, going without sleep or not getting enough sleep is terrible on me. But I'm over 70 years old. Now, let's go to our younger firefighters. The fact is that though you may be younger, you still need adequate rest. And probably one of the strongest complaints that we hear, and Andy mentioned this in her interview today, is that sleep deprivation is taking a big toll on our firefighters today. Now, Andy brought up some great ideas, tools, and more to help you. As a matter of fact, she gave me a very simple one. She recommended that one of my nighttime snacks be healthy nuts like almonds, walnuts, cashews that are good nuts, but they have a special type of fat in them, and that helps us sleep longer and better. Doesn't put us to sleep necessarily. We have to get to sleep. But when we do, items like the nuts or avocado, anything that has what we call beneficial fats, are available. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I've tried it 3 nights now, and 3 nights I've had better sleep and lasted longer asleep. Whereas earlier last week, I was getting up, going to bed at 10 o'clock and waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning. And my age and my somewhat frail condition now, that's not too good for me. So if you are in a department that you're notified you're in the bunk room, many departments today are converting alerting systems. There are several out there. I'm not affiliated with any of them, but going back to my day, way back about 45, 46 years ago, that dispatch speaker was on 24/7, even the speaker in the bunk room. So we heard every dispatch, we had every response, everything we heard was coming over the radio. That's not any way to grab some sleep in a firehouse. So whether you're home and you wait for the tones, or you're in the bunk room at the firehouse and the tones go off, hopefully these new tones and new manners of alerting you with a little wristband that will vibrate and show a red light and a red light in the bunk room as opposed to turning on all the white lights could be a big, big help. But it all boils down to you. You're the firefighter. You need to know if you're getting enough sleep and rest so that you can function at your best the next day, whether you're on duty or you're off that day. The fact is you still want to function to the best of your ability. And good sleep, believe me, take it from me after, you know, I've been dealing with this back issue since 92. And here we are in 2023. So take it from me. You need good sleep. I was only 40 when I got hurt and been dealing with it ever since. Get good sleep. You'll see it makes a good difference for you. And that's my view.
We're really glad to have you listening to Five Alarm Task Force. But we also want you to know that there are other terrific fire service podcasts available. Here's the short list. Number one, Beneath the Helmet with Chief Arjuna George. Number two, Student of the Game with Danny Beauvais. Number three, B-Shifter with Chief John Vance, Josh Blum, and Nick Brunosini. Number four, The Professional Brotherhood with Chief Brian Soler. Number five, The Five-Tool Firefighter with Nick Higgins of the Firehouse Tribune. Number six, Station Talk with Assistant Chief Tom Marciano. Number seven, Flow and Vent. Number eight, DTFF, Down to Fight Fire from British Columbia Volunteers. Number nine, Better Every Shift with Aaron Zamzow. Number 10, Firefighter Success with Captain Jim Moss. Number 11, Code 3, The Firefighters Podcast. Number 12, Make Do with Nick Peppard and Sean Duffy. Number 13, Getting Salty. And number 14, Fit to Fight Fire. Remember, to be a great firefighter, you must always be willing to learn. This message is brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One mission, one family, first responders helping each other.
Did you know that 90% of American communities are served by volunteer fire departments? And that many of those departments are actively looking for more volunteers? When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer and combo departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques and protecting your community at the same time. You will be joining the ranks of over 1 million men and women who serve their cities and towns, protecting lives and property. Did you know that the founder of the first volunteer fire department was Benjamin Franklin? If old Ben can do it, so can you. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Alternate. Did you know that 7 out of 10 firefighters in the U.S. are volunteers? And the number of volunteer firefighters is declining every year. Most American fire companies are working to recruit new members. When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer fire departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques, as well as emergency medical services to protect your community. Volunteers are also needed to help with fundraisers, conduct fire safety programs, and pitch in around the fire station. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Presented by the National Volunteer Fire Council and Five Alarm Task Force.
And that wraps this episode of Five Alarm Task Force, brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guest, Andy Clark, for joining us to discuss first responder behavioral health. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for Five Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC, the Firehouse Tribune, and LifeScan Wellness Centers, as well as our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, Thin Red Line Decon, Hass Alert, Pry Guy Levers and Estabars, Silver Arrow Coaching and Consulting, the EFT Corporation, Health, KPI, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info at the numeral 5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 5alarmtaskforce, on Facebook at facebook.com/5, then A as in apple, T as in tango, F as in foxtrot, C as in Charlie. And on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, the numeral 5-alarmtaskforcecorp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, our nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.thenumeral5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.